welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hitchcock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They saw me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'll be speaking about the first fruits. We read in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is in the book of Leviticus chapter 2, starting verse 12. "As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour." Verse 13. "And every oblation of the meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." Verse 14. "And if thou offer a meat offering of thy firstfruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy firstfruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears." Verse 15. "And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering." Verse 16. "And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord." The word firstfruits in Strong's is number 7225. It comes from the same word meaning the first, in place, time, order, or rank. Specifically a first fruit, beginning or chiefest, the first fruits, part or time or in principle. In classic Greek, Roman, and Hebrew religions, the first fruits were given to priests as an offering from the first agricultural produce of the harvest. This is taken from the fastest growing seed in the right growing conditions. God said it had to be offered to the Lord in the fire, and so added. What started as a specific instruction for bringing crops to the temple no longer refers to literal fruit, but whatever was received over the course of the year. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, I'm reading verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returns not again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Verse 11. "So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The devil keeps the world busy doing dead works, so the ground today is unprepared for his word in the hearts of men and women following ways that seem right. Everything God is doing is designed to produce fruit in everyone, everywhere. God's plans and purposes may lie dormant for a while, but they will not return to him void of fruit through someone with a heart after God on planet Earth. A good thought that works comes from God. A bad thought that does not work comes from you. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 6. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The devil keeps the church comfortable so that they lose a taste for true repentance. Conviction that leads to repentance is a blessing. Without some fruit, you will be cut down to size. What God sends or allows can cause repentance, brokenness, revelation, if you resist. The way he communicates to you is dependent on you. He will not crush you in the process because he wants you to bear fruit. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word first fruits in Strong's here is number 536. It comes from a compound of other words, meaning a beginning of sacrifice, that is by the Jewish first fruit, figuratively a first fruit. James was writing to those who responded to conviction, born again by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. However, they were the fastest growing fruit-bearing believers at the time that repented deeply. Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. This is Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The church started with 3,000 educated Jews, convicted by the Holy Spirit of killing the Christ personally. Some of the converts mocked Jesus on the cross when he was crucified outside the city. Many others, carried along by the crowd, shouted, Crucify him! And asked a convicted criminal, Barabbas, to be set free in his place in front of Pontius Pilate. The cross proved how corrupt the Jews had become. Pricked in their hearts, they saw how they had betrayed the Christ like Judas Iscariot for the sake of their personal beliefs and could not resolve their grief with a graveside visit. Those with a confidence in the flesh cried out with a loud voice on the day of Pentecost. To receive forgiveness, the Jewish converts had to repent and be baptized in water just to receive the Holy Spirit that they didn't do earlier when John the Baptist was alive. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 11, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm reading verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The word greater in Strong's is number 3187. It comes from another word meaning larger, literally or figuratively, specifically in age, an elder, greater or greatest, or more. John the Baptist was the fastest growing of the Old Testament prophets. As a first fruit, John learned how to hear, trust, and obey God in the wilderness. How will you become a first fruit if you cannot hear, trust, and obey in complicated situations. Stephen was speaking in Acts chapter 7, verses 51, and reading to verse 58. This is Acts chapter 7, I'm reading verse 51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." Verse 52. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." Verse 53. "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Verse 54. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Verse 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Verse 56. "And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." Verse 58. "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." The word stiff-necked in Strong's is number 4644. It comes from another two words, which means hard-naped. That is figuratively obstinate or stiff-necked. The phrase naped means to be discolored or different in some way to the rest. You are discolored by making excuses for disobeying God. The news of the Messiah being killed was spreading fast, and the religious leaders were drawn to a place where the church, preaching the truth, was distributing food. Stephen was working there, and a fast-growing believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, that spoke boldly about the religious Jews crucifying their own Messiah without getting angry. Stephen had a good message, but the religious Jews resisted and did not cry out in repentance when cut to the heart. They did not humble themselves and confess their sins. This was the last or only chance for them to hear the truth this way. Stephen did not die in vain, as Paul was also convicted, called Saul at that time, that met Jesus on the road to Damascus later. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 to 9. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Verse 6. "But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates." Verse 7. "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." Verse 8. "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Verse 9. "For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection." The word "examine" in Strong's is number 3985. It comes from another word which means to test. That is to endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline, assay, examine, or go about to prove or tempt or try. Everyone not willing to see what dead works they have done under pressure for the sake of their flesh in the past is getting stiff-necked. The carnal Christians using the gifts of the Spirit had a shallow foundation. After reading Paul's first letter, they were strong again through repentance. However, Paul knew if they did not improve their ability to hear, trust, and obey, as the pressure increased, they would sin again. Perfection is obedience to the truth, even when you're weak and unable to do anything to save yourselves. God can make a way for those not serving two masters, obeying the truth and not speaking falsely. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." Verse 13. "There is no temptation taking you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will never try or test you beyond your own ability. Standing firm with no temptation is a time to work on your salvation, or you will have a sudden fall in a situation you cannot handle. We are not following a set of written doctrines, but Jesus Christ by taking up our cross daily. Thinking is dangerous. Ask God to change things slightly each day to test your ability to hear his voice in the same situation, and you'll be ready for what is coming next. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and read verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those scattered in the persecution that had given the good confession to their fellow Jews had grown fast. Living on the narrow way includes giving the good confession now and again. You need at least six things to fight the fight of faith. Number one, righteousness in every situation. Number two, godliness. That is consistent revelation, the system of Christianity. Number three, faith, trust in God with all your heart. Number four, love, sowing and reaping love through his commandments. Number five, patience, doing everything at the right time and place. Number six, meekness, not reacting, but acting based on what the Spirit says. Timothy was told to expect God to bring back to life all things he lost following Christ. Get your priorities right or you'll be deceived. Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9 says, do you want to be truly rich? You already are, if you're happy and good. After all, we didn't bring any money with us when we came into the world, and we can't carry away a single penny when we die. So we should be well satisfied without money if we have enough food and clothing. But people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. If hell did not exist, then preachers of righteousness would not be needed. They should be in great demand today as this world is passing away. Early converts were resisting conviction and correction for the sake of earthly gain, defending lies for the sake of the flesh. John said in 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. This is 3 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. John was writing to the elder Gaius and asked him to assist those Jews passing by still on the narrow way that loved the truth. After some of the apostles died, God was still using the scattered Jews to help plant the true seed among the Gentiles of trusting God with your whole life. The Jewish converts scattered were under great pressure to find food and clothes, and their needs were being met miraculously. In the Living Bible, James 1:17-18 says, but whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light, and he shines forever without change or shadow. And it was a happy day for him when he gave us our new lives through the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children in his new family. Not every family member is perfect. The Heavenly Father is perfect. But to experience his provision, you have to obey the Holy Spirit. The voice you listen to consistently is your provider, not the one that you claim it to be just because you're born again. God is not like an earthly father giving you everything you want. Jesus taught in John chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 35. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You became part of God's family by responding to the truth. You experienced that salvation through conviction and repentance. You then keep hearing and obeying the Spirit of truth to abide in his house. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading verse 1. Lo, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David was not always obedient, but consistently got mercy because he was seeking righteousness and his perfect will in wartime conditions. He had no desire to fight all the time. He got angry, made mistakes, but by grace learned obedience to the truth. Temporal things do not satisfy and cannot replace the eternal lessons you gain on the narrow way. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'm starting verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Lazy believers are in a self-made prison, blind and spiritually naked, relying on the fact that their circumstances do not change to keep them comfortable. God can use the more humble circumstances to help you repent deeply when time runs out. If you're zealous and repent, you will have eyes to see what you should have done in the past. Any person or church congregation, doing what they want when they want, is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Today, you find hot, cold, and lukewarm believers in nearly every church denomination. When the last true believer dies or leaves a local congregation, often the church quickly closes and the building gets used for something else. In the first century, there were three distinct groups. Number one, the cold-hearted, resisting the conviction they felt for killing their own Messiah and following the religious Jews going to the temple regularly in Jerusalem. Number two, those left outside of Jerusalem, feeling sorry for themselves in humble circumstances, for losing good jobs for the faith. And number three, those scattered in other countries for giving the good confession. James was writing to the hot believers scattered in the persecution and called them the first fruits, chosen to spread the gospel to other nations as they were growing quickly through repentance. We read in Acts chapter 11, verses 19, I'm reading verse 27. This is Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad among the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man, and was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. The word cleave in Strong's is number 4357. It comes from other words which means to stay further, that is, remain in a place, with a person, figuratively to adhere to, persevere in, abide still, be with, cleave unto, continue in or with. The church did not have a place to meet when it started. They had to gather together for a period of time to listen to prophets coming from Jerusalem. A true prophet is there to tell his people to grow up spiritually with the right motive and attitude towards God and repent of serving two masters. A prophet is not sent to hear God for anyone, especially those too lazy to learn. The messages of Joseph Hedgecock taught in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, are simple to those with the right motive of love, an attitude of faith towards God. The Gentiles would have been convicted based on bad fruit appearing in their own lives and were told to repent when they were still serving two masters. Most would not tolerate this kind of ministry today and leave. But there were no other denominations at the time. The gospel was only passed on to the Jews initially, but they did not listen. When the message of repentance from dead works and faith towards God reached the Gentiles, a great number believed. Barnabas sent for Paul, living by faith, to teach them the truth. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man works abides which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, 12-15 says, take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection, and if you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. Only obedience with the right motive to God by faith will pass God's test. Those that do not establish a solid foundation for the sake of their flesh will miss his appearing and end up in the tribulation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I read verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Dead works you do now, and the works you fail to do, will be used against you in the judgment. Your response in complicated situations should be very different to those around you if you are alive to God through righteousness. Never blame others for your disobedience. It's always a blessing to recognize where you did not acknowledge the Lord. Do not get offended when others say, "Did you ask the Lord?" There will be times under pressure where you missed God's timing and did something else for the sake of your flesh without hearing from God. Lasting fruit is not produced in those with a shallow foundation, so it has to be deepened. Go slower and use a daily journal to examine yourself. Look for dead religious works, wrong motives, as well as bad works with God's help. It is possible to be condemned with the world if you do not accept the correction that comes through the rightly revealed word of truth. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. This is in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jesus is the Savior, but you must save yourselves by following Christ. New church denominations are often built around a single verse in Scripture like being born again, without referring to its context or studying similar verses on the same subject. We do not need another denomination following a way that seems right. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8-11. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Three things prove you are in the light: goodness, righteousness, and truth. In complicated situations, by using your brains to make decisions is living in the dark, because the flesh cannot please God. The church was listening to conspiracy theories during a worldwide pandemic, and baby Christians were seduced by those with a confidence in the flesh. The church needs to repent of using their minds trying to come to the truth. Bible school is responsible for generating leaders that have a confidence in the flesh today, causing more and more division. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Samuel Chadwick, who lived 1860 to 1932, was a lay preacher who served as president of the Wesleyan Methodist Conference 1918 to 1919. He was also the principal lecturer of Cliff College near Chesterfield, England. Samuel said, "The man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. Having one or two pieces of the puzzle does not make you spiritual. If you're still using your mind to come to the truth, you are devilish. The devil is the one who used one or two verses in Scripture to tempt Christ in the desert." John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Verse 20. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Verse 21. "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Verse 22. "Who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son." Verse 23. "Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." Verse 24. "Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Verse 25. "And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." Verse 26. "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Verse 27. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." If you come to truth through his written word without the Holy Spirit, be dishonoring to what Jesus paid for on the cross. Do not be like Judas, who went out and conspired with the religious Jews, studying the scriptures with their minds. If you believe that you can come to truth at Bible school, you are listening to an antichrist spirit. Jesus overcame all things by asking God everything. He did nothing without hearing from his Father. Jesus came in the flesh and did nothing from his divine nature. All that Jesus received came through his ability to communicate with God. Your ability to come to truth by the unction of the Holy Spirit is the most valuable piece of equipment that you have as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you feel like two-way communication with God in complicated situations is a long way off, just keep going. Eternal life is promised to those who've repented of dead works, but not guaranteed. If your communication breaks down, it's only because you're feeding the flesh. Eternal life is a gift to know God personally. That works fine when you abide in him, but not when you are in the flesh. The early believers taught about being anointed in all things had not been seduced. If the sound teaching you received still abides, you will not be seduced either. On the narrow way, in these last days, your communication will improve by grace to the point that you will be fit to rule and reign with Christ when he appears, if you don't give up. What you do now determines what you will do in eternity. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 15. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Anyone can perish now or later listening to a wrong voice. Strong messages on repentance from dead works are not accepted, but needed in churches everywhere. So make sure you are not resisting the truth and conviction personally. If you ignore the Holy Spirit, what will God send? Preachers of righteousness are sent to plow up the ground in such cases. But remember, the Holy Spirit is always doing a great job in your life to expose sin if you listen. The Father will not replace the Holy Spirit and give you someone else like a pastor instead to come to the truth. Your mind cannot be trusted because the flesh has access. If you choose to be unrighteous in any area, it is better for you to be deceived at a lower level of pressure and get a strong delusion from God now, so your sin manifests. By sin manifesting, you get time to repent and save yourself from the coming wrath. If you do not repent when bad fruit manifests, you do not love the truth. Paul told the church that they were doing well, but they had to stand fast, surrounded by those departing from the truth. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Never adjust the word of God to fit your doctrine, but instead adjust your doctrine to fit the rightly revealed word of truth. Everyone not studying to show themselves approved by the Holy Spirit will be exposed. Just before COVID, delusions contrary to the Bible started putting pressure on major church denominations everywhere. With the world economy frozen by a pandemic, everyone had an opportunity to study the Word of God at home. Government-backed organizations even paid their staff to stay at home in first world countries. Since that time, those with a heart after God have felt the need to leave churches run by committees compromising on the truth. As this world is passing away, the pressure to compromise will increase. Jesus is already preparing his bride through repentance from dead works to be a kind of first fruits in the last generation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. This is John chapter 10. I'm reading verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. God creates a sheepfold for you to hear, trust and obey consistently in a safe environment if you're a lamb. When you're ready, Jesus will lead you out by name because you learn to hear his voice in practical day-to-day things first and overcome. Experience God's provision through the Spirit or be overcome. In the Message Bible, John 10 verses 1 to 5 says, "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can, If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus is speaking to the religious Jews. Those who avoid conviction either climb over the gate or go through the fence. The gate is Jesus, and if you climb over him, then you are saying you don't need to repent deeply and make him Lord. Those who come through the fence confess their sins, but then rely on the fact that they can get forgiveness later if needed. This is just a way that seems right to your mind, and you will end up in destruction if you only confess your sin and do not change. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. When you laugh, what happens now, since you're born again? Are you really happy serving two masters? You can have a consistent joy on the narrow way from pleasing your heavenly Father in complicated situations. When you're ready, he will lead you on paths of righteousness, doing what he said. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus describes those who swiftly obey his voice like a little child as great, like John the Baptist. They do not go through the wilderness of making wrong decisions and get their answers the hard way, but obey the Spirit instantly by faith. They become part of his kingdom and sheepfold now. Those directed by the Spirit get all their answers from God. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven by being born again or doing good works. The communication starts with conviction of the Spirit, as no one is righteous. James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 6. This is in the book of James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 6. But he gives more grace, where he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. The new standard is getting the most grace by being humble. God is speaking all the time, but you must be humble to hear. Those humbling themselves by making Jesus Lord through repentance from dead works get grace to hear his voice immediately. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 5, and reading verse 6. But when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was no way to set the captives free under the old covenant when Christ died. God used the tragedy of the Jews murdering their own Messiah to wake up 3,000 of them that humbled themselves on the day of Pentecost. Traditions and the doctrines of men created by the Pharisees and Sadducees had removed conviction in the law at that time. The devil has used many church leaders to remove conviction and the need to repent deeply today. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecock writes, the belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature of the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you're in is based on who is controlling you. Devilish doctrines exist in churches for the sake of those heading for destruction on the broad way today. You will learn nothing of eternal value by leaning to your understanding. Church denominations that believe they are automatically righteous in Christ because they are born again are defending lies. Endure the pressure to come out of Christ by asking God everything, or your faith in God will slowly die. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verses 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that you may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. For more information about developing a love relationship with God, please read the book, How Love Grows, by Joseph Hedgecock. By keeping his commands on the narrow way, you are expressing God's very own perfect love back to him by grace. This is not your selfish love. God will teach you how to love through his commands. Saying you love Jesus is not enough. Jesus' commandments can be him telling you the time to get up and go to bed. His commands are practical and prevent you from doing other things you later regret. Jesus continued in John chapter 14, verses 18 to 21. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. Verse 21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Do not blame anyone else in these last days if you are comfortless. Jesus promised he would move in by the Spirit, so you could experience his love internally by doing two things. Number one, having his commands, and number two, keeping his commands. Listen to your flesh, and you will seek earthly comforts instead. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. If you're looking for an excuse, the devil will find you one for not asking God everything. This world will perish, controlled by the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Do not make it easy for your flesh when you go shopping. Ask God, what is your spending limit? Those in humble circumstance with a limited budget have an advantage. Jesus is not coming for those serving two masters. Everything good you need comes from God. His commands are your lifeline to be doing his perfect will when you are tempted to do other things. His commands will help you recognize what the devil is doing in this world through ways that seem right. You should be keeping his commands when others are doing what they want when they want. When it is difficult to obey, this is an opportunity to make a greater expression of love to him. The world will lose its appeal when you deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Holidays and travel will become more expensive to do safely. The desire to travel will eventually stop everyone because of wars and rumors of wars and many other issues to contend with in the last days. The devil himself will have to cry out peace and more peace to restore a failing economy, keeping men and women comfortable. Jesus said in Luke 21, verses 26 to 28, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Clear signs of Jesus appearing are already here. This includes the powers of heaven and governments set up by God shaken, and people's hearts failing them for fear. During a forced lockdown, carnal Christians were in the flesh on the streets fighting for their own rights with the rest of the world. The church that had a confidence in the flesh were afraid. Now after COVID, it is quiet again as things have returned to something that looks normal. Only the bride is still looking up and concerned about making herself ready through repentance from dead works, but the rest have fallen asleep. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In the Living Bible, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, but God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing can shake it. It is a foundation stone with these words written on it: the Lord knows those that are his, and a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. You have access to truth through the Holy Spirit and can depart from iniquity and stop sinning if you're born again. Those not changing in the body of Christ are lazy and do not love the truth. They are committing spiritual adultery instead. Purge yourself from any activities causing you to depart from the truth revealed by the Spirit. God knows those that are his, so you don't need to come up with a long shopping list of requests for the sake of your flesh. Only those on the narrow way in the body of Christ are used for noble purposes. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In God's kingdom, the priority is always to obey in every situation. If you want to be his representative on earth, seek his kingdom and his righteousness above everything else. Your mind will not understand the things of God, but you will always hear God clearly if you seek his righteousness in a trial. The devil is still the god of this world, promising a good career, money, a nice home, and a comfortable life. The devil wants you to believe nothing bad will happen to you without seeking righteousness. Antichrist movies portray actors overcoming evil without making Jesus Lord or acknowledging God in the details and using great power and intelligence that is not godly. You will not notice the direction the world is moving if you have a confidence in the flesh. If you are falling asleep in these last days, you are listening to the propaganda of the devil subconsciously or in some other way. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all their ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 12, on Escaping the Snares of Satan, on page 198, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when Jesus is your Lord and you are in the Spirit, you are able to understand the spiritual realm by the Holy Spirit. However, when you operate in the natural system, you have no choice but to use your natural mind. The devil is the author of the natural education system that operates through the flesh. Once you accept his system of learning, you are his captive. Your natural man will never escape from Satan's snares because your flesh cannot overcome flesh. To be free, you must move from the carnal nature to the spiritual nature by confessing your sin and repenting. The more you use your reasoning and understanding to escape from Satan's snares, the longer you will be held captive. He wants to steal as much as he can from you, but he is careful not to push you so far that you turn to God. Change your priorities to hear, trust, and obey in complicated situations, or you will not escape evil. You will also regret it later in your bones. In practice, you only trust God up to the level that you know he cares for you and loves you. When you first experience his love through the forgiveness of sin, you should have put on Christ. Also, without the fear of the Lord, you'll become wise in your own eyes again and not be delivered from evil. Being overcome by evil will cause doubts in your mind and hinder you from trusting God with all your heart. God can hold back evil to give you enough time to learn how to walk in the Spirit consistently and remove the devil's access to your flesh. On the paths of righteousness that he directs through the Holy Spirit, trusting God, you are safe. You may have a habit of leaning to your understanding that opens the door again to the carnal nature. Bad habits like leaning to your understanding can be broken. God can help you with that, but your faith has to be purified. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the book, Three Infallible Witnesses, 2024 edition, in the section Three Voices, on pages 35 and 36, Joseph Hedgecott writes, your common sense without the Holy Spirit is part of your flesh, and it produces death. If you do not believe this truth to the point that it changes your life, you will not mortify your flesh. Hear the Lord or abide in him. Every born-again believer, still risen with Christ, does not let the flesh control them at the right hand of Almighty God. They do not seek permission to do something they want, as Christ never did this. Keep denying yourself and get rid of doubts by seeking his perfect will in complicated situations. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You will only get a taste for God's perfect will by denying yourself and obeying the Spirit consistently by faith. God is love, and he knows the end from the beginning. Obey God swiftly, not anchored and neutralized by unbelief, based on lies about God, the love of money, and politics. Those who do not reach the fullness of God believe what they want to believe for the sake of their flesh. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God has always made it possible for mankind to do what is right in every generation, by grace through faith, based on God's promises. Not everyone who has accepted what Jesus did on the cross is pleasing to God today, but only those with the ability to hear God through the Spirit, diligently asking God everything. Leaders that turn Christianity into a religion are worse than the religious Jews. Many are like Cain, giving just a token of their own dead religious works. If you're not like Enoch and Abel, diligently seeking his perfect will with what God has given you, then you'll be left behind. Those who believe, seek him diligently, bring something they have prepared carefully, because they live by faith. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You were created in the image of God to be a living sacrifice for God, not just bring a sacrifice now and again. You belong to him, So you should be seeking his anointing all the time and his righteousness. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. This is the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In the Message Bible, Hebrews 11:5-6 says, by an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Those who do not come to God after they're born again do not believe God is free from corruption. Come to God with no opinions and believe God is who he says he is, or you will fail to add diligence to faith. Only 1/3 of the angels stop doing his perfect will, and they await their destruction while the rest are still doing his perfect will. You have to choose. God does not have two standards. God is good, and he's not been corrupted by the devil. Everything in this world has been corrupted, so you'll become a slave again to sin, forget God, and end up in destruction if you do not ask God everything. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You were given eternal life to invest in and maintain your communication with God so it doesn't stop working in a complicated situation. You need to hear, trust, and obey God consistently to stop sinning. James said in James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word swift in Strong's is number 5036. It doesn't have an origin, but it means fleet. That is figuratively prompt or ready or swift. Noah Webster in 1828 defined the word fleet as number one, swift of pace, moving or able to move with rapidity, nimble, light, and quick in motion, or moving with lightness and celerity as a fleet horse or dog. Number two, moving with velocity as fleet winds. Number three, light, superficially, fruitful or thin, not penetrating deep as soil. And four, skimming the surface. You may need to lose weight to be fleet. Swift is how you should have responded when you first heard the good news of salvation. You were doing dead works at the time, deserved hell, and your priorities should have changed immediately. As a new creation in Christ, you started developing your communication system with God. The first fruits are fleet, are on the narrow way, and do not have time to talk about politics and skim world issues as this world is passing away. If you do not learn to hear God quickly and consistently, you will be neutralized. The first church had to escape evil and not get angry in complicated situations. They had to find food and clothes in humble circumstances by asking the Lord. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some will reject the good news for the sake of their flesh. There is always forgiveness in Jesus' name for all those who confess their sin. A root of bitterness can rise up from unforgiveness, judging those who mistreat you. Do not become earthly minded. You were told to pray for doors of opportunity to close and not open when there was a possible risk of temptation. Look after his reputation by not sinning, and God will make a way for you. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry." Hearing swiftly is not just a suggestion for a few chosen people with a high calling on their lives, but for those who love the Lord and want to bear fruit now. Learn to speak slowly and you will overcome anger. You only get angry or make judgments because you are using your mind without asking God. Be like Christ, who always asks God first what he wants in every situation. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 20. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 20. "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. If the same sin reoccurs, you have not reached the root issue in your repentance. If you really repent of something, then you do not do it again." James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. This is James chapter 3. I'm reading verse 10. "Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Verse 11. "Doth a fountain send forth out of the same place sweet water and bitter?" Verse 12. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Verse 13. "Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Verse 14. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Sin is unrighteousness, and it can be occurring at seed level or the fruit level. Pressure on the narrow way is like heat bringing impurities to the surface that will not destroy you. The pressure on the narrow way is designed to make you angry if you're in the flesh. Conviction is a blessing. That way you get more time to repent and get to the root of sin. It will cause selfish thoughts to manifest early or desires for something you want to do quickly that needs patience. If you always want something in this life without asking God, you lack godly wisdom. Use a notebook to work out your salvation. Record bad fruit that appears in any situation. The Spirit will not bear witness to a lie, so record anything like this too. God is in control. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. This is Romans chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Verse 18, "For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The kingdom of God is not evil, but righteous. God has given you his peace that passes all understanding, and his joy, so that under normal circumstances you will not be overcome with grief or worry. Follow carefully, therefore, whatever makes peace with another person, since you have the grace to go without or suffer, and they do not." Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Verse 2. "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Verse 3. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Verse 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." The word yokefellow in Strong's is number 4805. It comes from another word which means co-yoke, that is figuratively as a noun, a colleague. Probably rather a proper name, a Christian or yokefellow. You have to stand fast if you love him by keeping his commands through the Spirit to abide in him. Never compare yourself to anyone else. All excesses in this world are wrong. Only moderation is correct when it comes to earthly matters. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 8:5 says, "For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their mind on things and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit." What are you thinking about now? You're either in the flesh or in the Spirit if you're born again. Jesus paid the price so you could also save yourself by choosing a life led and controlled by the Spirit. You will serve the devil if you're carnally minded. Check your fruit, as it does not lie. Those who are carnal make decisions without asking God. Your mind will not be renewed serving two masters, because it gets reinfected with corruption through the flesh. When you get angry in a complicated situation and cannot hear, you know you're in the flesh and grace has run out. In the Message Bible, James 1:19-21 says, "Post this at all the intersections. Dear friends, lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Fruit comes from obeying the word of truth that is able to save your souls. Anger comes from false doctrine and believing lies. Spoiled virtues are based on what others do or do not do to make your life more comfortable for the flesh. Never blame others for you being unfaithful like a pastor or a church you attend. Many are not interested in making a spiritual garden with the fruits of the Spirit in trials and difficulties. Most prefer to just do everything from spiritualized flesh and have a nice garden in this world instead, where they can relax and feel comfortable in a deck chair on a sunny day." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If your life is not changing every day and doing more with less effort, you are not abiding in Christ. Those seeking God's ways of doing things use his commands and do not rely on earthly technology, as this world is passing away. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 4. "He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Verse 5, "But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." If you keep his word under pressure, you are still in Christ. If you have not made Jesus Lord, time is running out. You may need a weakness that forces you to ask the Lord in new areas when you get older to perfect your love. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, and 32. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.'" Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Those continuing in the word are changing, not bound by man-made traditions. Your faith is dead if you are making excuses. Make a study of the reason why you do not ask God and continue his word in a trial. Those still using their mind trying to come to the truth are ignorant. The Spirit will lead you through conviction to areas where you struggle the most, and this will give you a chance to repent of lies you believe for the sake of your flesh. You will not get free by claiming his word when deliverance ministries speak something over your lives. You have to repent deeply and embrace what God shows you with godly sorrow to be set free. God is working on his people everywhere. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 5. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in the introduction on page 12, Joseph Hitchcock writes, because our faith needs to grow and be strengthened, God tests our faithfulness in everyday situations. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Christians often make mistakes in this area. They try to be faithful in something important, but not practice faithfulness in everyday life. You must begin where you are. Choose to trust God in the areas he is working on today. Seek him for direction. Obey what he says because you love him. Prove your faithfulness by trusting him with the little things in your daily life. You will lack nothing if you let God provide for you by the Spirit. Work on your communication to be able to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit, to establish the Father as your provider. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. God is speaking all the time. Striving and debating over the meaning of specific words is a waste of time. You need conviction to grow spiritually. God loves you, but you have to grow up. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about the first fruits. And this is about being a fast-growing Christian, somebody who is learning from every mistake, everything that's going wrong in their lives, everything that's going right in their lives. You're supposed to be anointed as a student. You're supposed to be learning from everything if you're a first fruit. And right now you need to grow up quickly because this world is passing away. And this message is for those of you out there that say, okay, I need to change. You see other things in this world and maybe you just think they need to change, but that's going the wrong direction. You don't need anything else to change. You just need you to change. And change means repentance. Not just saying you're sorry, but getting deeply down to the root why you have committed spiritual adultery. You may even be somebody who has betrayed the true message of Christianity and gone back to your reasoning and understanding, trying to understand the truth. Now is your chance to repent. Let me pray with you. If you want to be a first fruit, you want to be somebody who is growing through the heat of these last days. Father in heaven, as there's people listening to this message, I pray for them to have ears to hear, that they will desire just to obey you in complicated situations and do exactly what you said because they love you and they want to serve you in that glorious kingdom when you appear. And I know you're coming soon. God bless them, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.